Welcome to The Daily, Tony.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, not too bad at all. Well, I guess we should just jump straight into this. And I'm just going to ask the basic question of how this white paper compares to those of recent years, bearing in mind the last one was more than a decade ago.
Yes, that's right. It was back in 2003 when the world, I think you would have to say, was a simpler place. Clearly, China's rise in the last decade has changed things dramatically. And this white paper tries to take account of that. The question is whether the government's managed to thread the needle on our security, foreign policy posture. I think they've done a reasonable job. They haven't thrown the baby out with the bathwater, if I can put it that way, the US baby out with the bathwater. It still remains our benchmark security relationship. But the paper also acknowledges, of course, China's rise and those implications for us from a security standpoint. And I think it's made a reasonable sort of job of it.
You mentioned security and China's rise just then. Are we facing a more dangerous future, or is it just more the fact that the future is terrain that we haven't really crossed before?
I think the right word to use here is unpredictable. I think we're facing a more unpredictable future. Things, even though we've had, of course, since the end of World War II, the Korean War and the Vietnam War, from an Australian security standpoint, things have been relatively predictable and stable. But I don't think you can say that anymore. It depends, of course, on what China's rise implies for other countries in the region and for the United States' posture in this part of the world. I think probably the fair judgment to make about this paper is that it sort of represents a bit of a hedging policy. We retain our, of course, close security relationship with the United States, but acknowledge that the world has changed and is changing fast. And, we're attempting to take steps to deal with that reality.
Well, I guess Australia's reality is changing. What do you think our place in the Indo-Pacific region is now, and how that is going to change?
Well, this white paper can't be read, and as I think I made the point in my Sydney Morning Herald column today and column in The Age, the white paper can't be read separate from the defence white paper of last year, which upped our investment in our maritime capabilities very significantly. There's the order of 12 submarines, whatever you think about those expenditures, and frigates and so forth. The government has come to the conclusion, I think, that we have to do more from a defence security standpoint to secure our future. Obviously, bulk of our trade is with our North Asian neighbours. We have to be aware of the risks that might be posed to our sea lanes and so forth. So I think what we're seeing from this government and perhaps the previous Rudd-Gillard-Rudd governments is a recognition that Australia will have to play a greater role from a security standpoint in our part of the world, and the United States can't always be relied on to fill the vacuum or fill the gap.
Indeed. Where does the United States in that case fit into all of this? And I guess more to the point, how does Donald Trump, fit into all of this?
Well, that is the multi-billion-dollar question, of course, and the paper addresses it cautiously. It makes the point and acknowledges that we can't always rely on the United States to do all that we may wish it will do from a security standpoint in this part of the world. And I think that's obviously that position's being fed by the uncertainties in America now that we're seeing from a political standpoint, the sort of America first position, the isolationism that's espoused by some people around Trump and perhaps by Trump himself. That's partly driving what I think is a move towards greater self-reliance, which I'm in favour of. I think it's a realistic position, and I think it's overdue.
Definitely. How should Australia go about maintaining good terms with both the US and China?
Well, that is the big challenge. I think the China relationship and Penny Wong in a speech last week in Melbourne, I thought, made the good point that the ANZUS Treaty and the relationship with America is not simply a matter to do with military issues or warfare, but it speaks to our shared values with the United States. So, you know, that should be the foundation of our relationship with them, and it will continue to be so. But we, at the same time, we just have to recognize that China is going to become an ever more dominant player in this part of the world, and we have to take account of that. I mean, leaving aside the importance of China as an economic partner. So it's a balancing act, and that'll be the challenge for the governments in the years ahead.
It definitely is a balancing act, and I guess you mentioned relationships there. How important is it for us to bolster like regional friendships and expand our strategic network in this region?
Well, I think that that's critical, obviously, and people tend to forget, but Indonesia is on the way to being, I think, fourth or fifth economic power in the world. It is not now, but I think it's passed us in terms of GDP. So Indonesia is a colossally important relationship. We're seeing a more assertive Japan. Of course, India is rising. There's been a lot of discussion of a quadrilateral relationship between us, Japan, India and the United States, which has a security implication. There's been criticism of it from the pro-China lobby in Australia. I don't agree with that. I think it makes sense for us to have some sort of security dialogue with like-minded democracies, not to contain China necessarily, but to provide some sort of balancing mechanism. And relations, of course, with ASEAN and the other countries of the region are critically important. And I think that, you know, Australia just has to play its role as a leading figure. And I've just read Gareth Evans' book on his time as foreign minister. And we saw during that Hawke Keating Gareth Evans period, a lot of creativity. APEC was established and other things. I just think Australia has to use its good offices to bring those sorts of relationships about and bolster the relationships that exist already.
It's definitely got to be an interesting few years ahead of us with the rise of China and Donald Trump and all these other things. So thank you so much for joining us on The Daily today.
That's a pleasure, and you answer very good questions.
Thank you very much.